Heavenly greetings in Jesus' mighty name. Yes, Amen. Thank you so much for joining us here live and direct on the University of God. It's wonderful to be together here in the fellowship of Jesus Christ, all everyone together for one purpose, to draw nearer to Jesus, because he's the source of our strength, our life, our everything.
Jesus is the common center of our unity. He's the reason why you are here.
Yeah.
He's the only Savior, the only Lord, the Deliverer. No way outside Christ. Is the truth where the true light comes from. So you are welcome in his presence.
You know what comes next? Burning questions. If you have any burning questions in your heart, we're going to give you a few minutes to send them in right now. And then we'll be back to you very soon to answer your questions with the help of the Holy Spirit.
I remind you, last week we gave you assignment to read Romans chapter 7.
And chapter 8.
And chapter 8.
Yeah.
If you have read it, your life is blessed. If you have any questions, we are here for you.
There's a question that someone asked, Emmanuel asked, is poverty a sin for us as a Christian?
Can you ask the question again?
Is poverty a sin for Christians? Is it a sin to be poor?
It is. That you have to look, when you are a Christian, I mean you are safe from sin. First, if you are a Christian genuinely, Jesus says, whom the Son of God sets free is free indeed. Now, you can be a Christian, you can be poor and be a friend of God. Our faith in God is not based on money, it's based on God himself. So there's no connection, direct connection, between sin and poverty. What do we call poverty? Are you talking about material poverty? God may allow you to go through poverty for a while before he blesses you. The reward of our faith is heaven, eternal life. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's what Jesus said. So today, somebody can be poor, not because of God. Mismanagement of God's resources can lead us to poverty. Our own choices can lead us to failure and poverty. But when we are led by the Spirit of God, blessings of God will overflow. That's the question. The question is between success and poverty. How do you measure your Christian life? Not by circumstances, not by situation. A man can be rich, very rich, and not be a Christian. That doesn't mean he's better than you. A man can be rich, and before God, he's poor. A man that is poor is not the man that doesn't have money, is a man that's not saved. A man without the Holy Spirit is poor indeed. When you have Holy Ghost, you are blessed with the blessings of heaven. That's why Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything shall be given to you.
That's why Apostle Paul learned that valuable lesson, that he knew what it was to be in want and also to have more than enough.
Thank you.
And in both situations, he was content. Why? Because of the inward resources that he had, not the outward resources. And if you ask many people, they will tell you that they learn the most valuable lessons about life, about our relationship with Jesus through going through, it could be a hard time in our life. That hard time could be physically, it could be financially, it could be in many different areas. But God can allow us to go through those things in order for us to learn to depend on him.
Jesus said, we don't worship mammon, we worship God. Not money, not silver and gold. When you look at many countries all over the world, they are rated to be underdeveloped and poor. And they are the one that loves Jesus the most today. They have a heart for Jesus. When God looks on the earth and saw the poor in spirit, these are the children of God. God is happy because they have the heavenly currency. They have faith.
And remember, poor in spirit, meaning that you know you need God. You know that you're not sufficient of yourself. You know that you're not arrogant in your spirit. You know that you need to need God to depend on everything. That's true humility, total dependence upon God for everything. And that's why it's so dangerous today to measure, to be tempted to measure our spiritual growth or our spiritual well-being by in monetary terms. It's so dangerous because it seems to be completely opposite to what Jesus taught us. Jesus came for the kingdom of heaven. He preached the kingdom of heaven. He set us free from sin and its penalties. That's what Jesus came for. For you to think that being poor is a sin It means there's some wrong doctrine going on somewhere.
Sin is poverty itself. So don't confuse it. When you sin, you break your relationship with the source of all blessings, that is God. And that's what Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verse 15, 17. Those who are rich say, I don't need Jesus. I have money. If you don't know, you are poor, you are rich, you are miserable. So please, we don't measure our Christian life by things on the outside, but silver and gold. Never, ever. That's a big mistake. Number two, the Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. So a Christian is not poor. You who call yourself poor, when God sees you, if you are a true child of God, you are not poor indeed.
It's true.
Whatever situation you may be, God may allow you to go through temporary poverty so that you enjoy the blessing when it comes. When you look at the life of Joseph, when he was a slave, what is bigger than poverty? Slavery is bigger than poverty. But later, God get him out of poverty and put him on the throne of Egypt. So please, we don't worship silver, gold, and money. We worship God, and God is the source of your life. If you have God, don't call yourself poor. You are cursing yourself. You are not poor.
As a true believer in Jesus, look back at your life. You'll see that God provided for you every time you were in need. That need never got to be so great because God provided for you miraculously in different ways. God can touch someone's heart to help you. God can miraculously open a door for you because God is the one that holds this world in his hands. Sometimes we forget who God is, who the God that we're serving is. So remember, our focus should not be on the blessing, but on the blessing provider. That is why Job still remained faithful, even when the physical blessings were taken away from him, because his faith did not rest on those blessings, but his faith rested on the giver of those blessings. The same Abraham, his faith didn't rest on the provision of his son, but his faith rested on God who provided the blessing of his son. And that is why we need to get our priorities straight and see life clearly, because today what many people think is wealth is not wealth, is actually chaining us, weighing us down, especially if it comes from a wrong source or in a dubious way.
Remember, Peter, silver and gold I do not have. What I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. We are here serving you freely, speaking freely, and the word of God in our life, by the power of the Holy Ghost, can bring blessing to your life today. You that say you are poor, if you believe Jesus, you will see that you are not poor. Poverty is a person that does not have Jesus. If you have Jesus, you have the source of all blessings in you. You have contentment and peace of heart. You have the resources of heaven. And Jesus said, your need will be met by God. Contentment. So when you have Holy Spirit in you, you have God abiding in you. How can you call yourself poor? The disciples, the first disciples in the book of Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, they were selling their properties, bringing all their resources in common because they were rich in Christ. So remember the words of Jesus. When you pray, don't ask for money, don't ask for this thing.
God knows that you need those things.
God knows that you need them.
Yeah.
God knows your need. So please never again call yourself poor. If you are a Christian, you are not poor. You have the source of blessing in your life. Ask yourself, what is God's position in the temporary situation you are going through? There's time for everything. God, before God blesses you, he processes your life. If God knows he make you rich and the money take your heart, your money away from God, God will never give you until your character change. God will never give you what you cannot accommodate. So if God allows you to go through time of lack and poverty, you will appreciate the blessing, the riches when it finally comes and God wants it to continue his will in your life. Thank you.
Amen. It can be an opportunity for you to focus on what is truly important in your life. That if that blessing had come earlier, you would not have had that preparation, that training, that opportunity to reflect on life itself. Ask many people who before they would spend time praying and interceding and asking God, seeking the face of God, once blessing comes, how many of them still continue life like that? They're too busy with the blessing. Sometimes it can take our mind, our heart off God. Whereas remember, the purpose of blessing is for us to actually focus on God more, not as to take our mind and our heart off God. So please remember, as a true believer in Christ Jesus, the focus is our relationship with God. It's not the physical or material possessions we have. Many of these things, they can actually weigh us down. Whereas actually, life is simple. We complicate life so much. And remember, anyone that is very rich on the outside, if you tell them if they're sick, they would give all their money away for good health. Yet money cannot buy good health. Good health is a gift from Jesus. So if you're here today watching this podcast and you're breathing freely and you have strength in your bones and you're able to say, thank you, Jesus, with your life, that means you possess something so many people do not have. So you are blessed. So begin to thank Jesus in your heart. Amen?
Amen.
Someone called Jason asked a question about, I think he's referring to the scripture about working out our salvation with fear and trembling. He's asking about what's the difference between salvation and sanctification, that then it could cause quite a lot of confusion in the
difference
church.
Between salvation and sanctification. Well, this is the important question for me. A very, very, very important question. Why? Because we believe once we are saved, it is done. It's okay. We can close our fingers and wait to heaven to come.
Mm.
Once you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, once you are a Christian, you are living in the world dominated by Satan. Mm. We are in the world, but we are not a part of it. What's the meaning of that? The moment you are saved, you are no longer part of the world. Why? Because you have a new heart, a new spirit, and you are born again, born of the Spirit of God.
Mm.
At the point of conversion, you receive a new life. That happens once. The moment you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and God confirms your faith and sends the Holy Ghost, the seal of righteousness in your heart, you are saved. You are a new creation. You are born again. You are the righteousness of Christ Jesus. But that's not all. What is new is a new heart, a new spirit. But this man, the old man, is still the same. Mm. The mind and the body need to be changed. Mm. That is what sanctification is all about. Once you accept Jesus, you have to grow in Christ-likeness every single day. Never you think or talk on the level of the old life.
And that's a 24-hour assignment.
It's forever. Mm. The Holy Spirit, once you are saved, he dwells in your heart. He helps you to develop a godly character. That is sanctification. Dying to sin more and more, living for righteousness more and more. We have been conditioned by the upbringing, our family, our culture, our tradition. All these were embedded in our lives. And this does not reflect Christ's culture, Christ's way.
Mm.
So God, Holy Spirit will work in our character to change, to bring a change of the qualities of our soul. What is that change? Look at Peter at Pentecost. He received the Holy Spirit and began to preach. Mm. The same Peter in Galatians chapter 2:3, Paul corrected him publicly because he was behaving like a hypocrite.
Mm.
Because Peter was still fearful of the Jew while he was living with the pagan. So we eat with them. When the Jews come, he ran away. Paul said, you're a hypocrite. So what does it mean? Once we have received Jesus, we have to put on the new man, which is Jesus. Our mind needs to be renewed. The way we speak, think, and act must be changed. And that's the greatest difficulty we have.
So is that what it means to work out your salvation with fear and trembling?
Fear and trembling means bear fruit worthy of your salvation.
Mm, worthy of repentance.
Yes. The first one is the transforming power of God. It's Holy Ghost that does it. You have no role to play. Power will come upon you, change. But the second one, you have to die to yourself, carry your cross.
Mm.
You have to submit to the Holy Ghost. You have to listen to the word of God. You have to grow in holiness every single day of your life. You have to get out of your culture. Get out of culture. Learn to love people. Learn to bless people. A new character. That is disciple. Number one, disciple means character. You will know them by their fruit. Character, righteousness, does not just happen in one day.
Mm.
It is built. When you look in the Bible, Paul, who became Saul in Galatians chapter 3, and go and read Paul in 2 Timothy, you will see a big difference in his character.
Mm.
Go and read the book of Philemon, the love of Paul. We grow in love. We grow in the fruit of the Spirit every single day of our lives. So sanctification means the nature of God in our life is manifested when we're living in community. When you're living in the midst of unbelievers. When you're living in the midst of this world. That's where the nature of God should be seen in you. The fruit of the Spirit should be seen in you. You talk differently. You become the light of Christ, salt of civilization. We see Christ in you by the way you talk, by the way you think. You don't need to say, I'm a Christian. Let your character speak. Only our godly character can testify to our salvation in Christ Jesus. So the process, the progress of sanctification means, once I become a Christian, I'm still a disciple of Jesus. I need to make the Word of God a standard for my life. I need to spend the time in the Word of God. Allow the Holy Ghost to help me to live in the Spirit and to walk in the Spirit. The Bible says, live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, and you will not satisfy the cravings of the flesh. That is the progress of sanctification. Dying to sin more and more, living for righteousness more and more. That's why Prophet Jesus gave us his prayer, take more of me, give me more of you. That prayer summarized the whole Bible. Because there is nothing good in me. What is good is by grace through the Holy Spirit.
Salvation is not in us.
Absolutely. So, when you receive Jesus, the journey starts. The journey of righteousness on this earth. You will face issues that violate your conscience. You will relate with people that don't believe what you believe. You face opposition and trials. But the Bible says, be led by the Holy Ghost. Put on the new man. Ephesians chapter 4, Romans chapter 12. We put on the new man when we allow Jesus, Holy Spirit, to direct our thinking, our thought, our behavior. Yeah. So the work of the Holy Spirit at first starts at salvation by the spiritual rebirth. Then the Holy Ghost has a work during our lifetime, using this Word of God to act upon your soul to produce the beauty of Jesus Christ. You grow in knowledge. You grow in patience. You grow in love, in self-control. Your attitude changes. Your character changes. Your emotion changes. And people begin to see the light of God in your life. A tree cannot be planted in one day and begin to yield fruit in one day. There is a process. The root must come first, which is belief. Then the tree begins to grow as you feed yourself with the Word of God, hearing and obeying, walking with the Holy Ghost every single day of your life. You grow in maturity till you begin to see the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in your life.
So it's not just to receive an altar call and then just go on your way. It's
salvation is the beginning of the journey of life.
The beginning of the journey, but it's not the end of the journey.
The journey begins with the truth when you are saved. Yeah. Now, how do you live your life? That is where the progress of sanctification is very important. We grow deepest in our relationship with God. So when the Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, that doesn't mean once we are saved, we live a life of sin. No. Once you are saved, you carry your cross. We learn to crucify this body. Pride, anger, jealousy, fits of rage, those things we used to do, we die to them more and more. That's why the Bible says, consider yourself dead to sin and alive in righteousness. That does not happen in one day. That's why Christian makes mistake. It's not sin mistake. Anytime you make a mistake, Holy Spirit will say, hey, this is wrong. You repent and you continue the journey. Where you used to lie, you stop lying.
That's the progress of sanctification.
Yes.
Dying to sin more and more and living to righteousness more and more. And it is a progress. And that's why it's something that righteousness is built in us. Through meditating over the Word of God.
Thank you for saying that.
Continuing to submit our body, our thoughts to the authority of God's Word.
That is it. John 17:17. Father, sanctify them by the truth.
Your word is truth.
It's the only, the God's Word reflects His character. That's why the Holy Ghost uses God's Word in your heart to renew your mind, to renew your character, your behavior. If this Word dominates your heart, it will dominate your mind. It will dominate your thoughts and everything about you. And then you put on the new man every single day to be like Jesus with a renewed mind, renewed affection. Oh, that's the progress of sanctification. So Please, we need to pray the more, fast the more, walk with the Holy Ghost daily to be led by the Holy Spirit. Because it's not about you, it's about others. Let God use you to be a channel of blessing anywhere you go.
And when that scripture talks about fear and trembling, you know, anytime we hear fear, we think it's a negative thing. But remember, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Fear of God is a reverent fear. And that's actually where we sense the presence of holiness. And that's why, remember Peter, what happened when he saw the great miracle that Jesus did, he felt his feet and he said, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man." Because the miracle that Jesus performed, he sensed the holiness of God, the presence of God, and that made him conscious of his own sin. How many of us today are actually conscious of our sin, are conscious of our position before God? And that's why when the scripture talks about working out our salvation with fear and trembling, you know, it's about the reverent fear of God. And that's something that I believe is lacking today. And if we had more of a fear of God, I believe that we would actually make a lot less mistakes and actually depend on Jesus for a lot more of our daily life.
Thank you. The fear of the Lord is the fear of doing evil. That's wisdom.
Yeah, not to offend Jesus.
Run away from sin and embrace God's righteousness. We call it reverent fear of God. You do things for God's sake. God's sake, don't curse anyone. You stop. Don't fight back. You stop. Don't lie. You stop. Because of God. Reverent fear of God, because he sees you, he knows you, and one day we will all return to him over there, where the sickest of all heart will be weighed by God and judged by God. So be conscious of Christ's presence in your life. Once we have this consciousness, which the progress of sanctification will bring, and give us a sense and awareness of God's presence, then we know how to guard against sin and examine ourselves every single day in the light of God's word. The only way to be sanctified, it is this word. Please, this is the word we despise so much. This is the word we think we know. We know nothing. Every single day, today, I can say I know this one. Every single day I pray, I learn things as if I never read the Bible. So we need to come in the presence of God and allow the Spirit of God to change us. Not only to change, but being able to be changed. Submit to the word of God and allow the Holy Ghost to build Christ's nature in you. That is your salvation, the nature of God, the fruit of the Spirit.
And remember, for Christ's nature to be built in you, it means that we have to put off the old nature. It means that the old man has to go. The two can't be there together. And that is sometimes can be a very painful process, because someone was asking about pride. You know, is pride a sin in us by nature? And it's true. Pride is a sin in us by nature. It's no one has to teach anyone to be proud. It comes naturally. So that
why?
Is why.
Why is it natural? It's true what you say. For me, if you ask me to define pride, it's self-consciousness. Self-centeredness. That's where pride comes. Me? This is to me. You talk to me as pride.
So it's selfishness.
Selfishness.
Selfishness is the root of many of our problems.
That is it.
Yeah.
Christ focuses on self. Like Jesus said, don't focus on you. Carry your cross and follow me.
Yeah.
That's humility.
So therefore, this question about sanctification for it to take place in our daily life, it means that the old has to go. And for the old to go, for the old nature to be removed, it's not always easy. But it's only possible with the Holy Spirit.
That is it. Peter called it the sanctification of the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that sanctifies us. He's sanctifying power through the living word of God. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 3, "You are already pure because of the word I have spoken to you." Anytime you are reading this Bible, the water of the word is washing your spirit, your soul, and you don't know it. Read this Bible. Before you realize it, you begin to have visions or dreams. Why? It purifies the state of your heart. It purifies your mind and brings God's presence to your life. Read this word. Sanctifying power, purifying power is in the word of God.
Amen. And someone's just sharing another testimony, actually. They said, "What God is so good, what makes me really believe in him? Before, I used to drink alcohol. When I received the prayer, I no longer drink anymore." You see, when Jesus removes that urge to do sin in us, when he removes that urge, that desire, we now have to continue along the way. Jesus has done his part, but what is our part? Our part is continue to trust and obey his word.
That is just
make his word the standard for our life, and that is the role of sanctification. Amen. Remember,
you are
what did
saved to follow Jesus.
Yeah. What did Jesus say to the man who was healed? He said, sin no more or something worse will happen to you. Meaning continue in this good life. Continue in this new life. Don't go back. Don't go back. Because otherwise you're opening the door to Satan and his companions.
Okay. When we say I'm converted, what does it mean, conversion? It's a transformation.
Mm.
I forsake my evil ways, my own ways, and I embrace the way of Jesus.
Mm.
And I have a commitment of conscience of heart after receiving to follow Jesus all my life, because my life is no longer my own. It is Christ. So I have to follow Christ's new order, Christ's character, Christ's way of doing things. And for that, it doesn't just happen. It lasts forever. It takes humility and walking led by the Holy Ghost to reach that place. Thank you.
We have another question here. Tandy has asked the question. Good morning. My question is, Jeremiah 29:11 says, God has plans for us to prosper us. Why does he not push us into these plans? And how can we get on them and be sure we are following the plan of God?
Okay. Brother, the question is simple.
Tandy, I think it's
it. Tandy? Tandy, yeah? God has set before you the good life.
Yeah.
The way of blessing. And there's the way of perdition. Jesus died for the whole world, right?
Mm.
That does not automatically save everybody. There is a role to play. You have to believe it. Every promise of God is a seed. If your heart is open, you receive the seed. But when the seed comes to your heart, you have to believe the seed yourself. Once you believe it, we call it conviction. Is this true for my life? Yes. And you have to walk towards it. The greatest blessing is salvation. We preach the gospel for you to know who Jesus is.
Mm.
What are the conditions given by God in the Bible for salvation? Clearly. And now you follow the process of God to receive salvation properly, and the blessing will overflow. So in the mind of God is the mind of God to bless us. Ephesians 1 said it from the beginning. It's the plan of God for you, ordained you to be saved, but it's not automatic. You have to believe.
You have a role to play.
That's why we preach this gospel to you every single day. It's the will of God. This is a year of real movement. But how many accepted to step into faith into what God puts in your heart?
Mm.
Belief is dormant if you don't put it into action. And that's the problem we face. When you receive a seed in your heart, God says, hey, this is what I want you to be. Follow me. If you say, I don't go, nothing will happen. Okay. Mm. When I went to meet Prophet Yeshua in February 2002 from France, after I have a dream about him, but he never knew. When I met him in his office the day I was leaving on the 3rd of March 2002, he told me, sir, what are you doing in life? I said, this. He said, God has called you for this. For this to happen, you have to come and follow me and serve me. My God. That's what he said. What does it mean for me? Leave France, leave my work, leave everything. And come back to Africa, which I was running away from the beginning. I ran away from my country to go to France. Now God has a way which has not my ways. This France you're talking about, leave it and come to my kingdom. Follow me. Jesus said, follow me. God called me through him. So what I did, because I had a dream about him that God showed me 4 years, I said, ha, this is the right man.
Mm.
Because of that dream, conviction was in my heart that yes, this is my destiny.
Mm.
And I say yes. When I say yes, I was ready to forsake everything because I know this is the way of God for me.
Mm. To answer the call of destiny, it's a heart decision. And you have to take that heart decision. God can plant that dream in your heart, that it can be a light inside of you, a fire inside of you, but you have to act on it. If you don't act on it, it will just lay dormant and other distractions, other things will spring up. So you have to answer the call of destiny in your own life.
How do you answer? Listen to the voice of destiny.
Mm.
Listen to the voice of destiny, my brother Tanti. Listen to the voice in your heart.
Sister, I think.
Sister? Is this sister?
Yeah.
My sister, listen to the voice of destiny in your spirit. Today, there are many people, because of fear, refuse to act faith and let destiny go. But the light is still talking. Your heart is still crying. Your heart is crying within you. God wants you to do this. You refuse. Your heart is crying. Your heart is crying. Many have surrendered to their fears while their heart is still dreaming for a miracle.
And the things you choose to do instead, many do not fill you with peace or with contentment, because you ask the question about why does God not push us into his plans? He knows the best for us and he's already laid the way for us, but you have to walk in it. You have to decide to walk in that way. That's why the Bible says that life or death, what do you choose? As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord.
I don't see you, but I'm praying for you right now. I'm going to pray for you to ask that question. Because the Bible says, if you have a sense of destiny, you must have quick perception. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his ways. He walks in the direction of God's calling for his life. That can only happen when your mind and your conscience is free to listen to the inner voice in your heart. When you obey that voice, your life will change. This is the reason why sometimes we face trouble. If God wants you to go this way, like Balaam, Balaam wanted to go the way of perdition to curse Israel. God sent an angel to block the way. God opened the eyes of the donkey. The donkey saw the angel and became afraid, while the foolish prophet, false prophet, was beating the donkey. Until God opened his eyes, Numbers chapter 22, verse 31, and he saw the angel say, hey, no one can change your destiny. You're the only person who can change it yourself. I could have said to the prophet, yes, I'm coming. I never come back. And my destiny would have changed today. But because of the tender mercies of God, because of the dream I received from the Holy Spirit, I listened to the voice of my heart. Faith in Christ Jesus is not a risk. It is a sure and practical act. You will never regret it for obeying the voice of your heart when Jesus calls you.
I think that's a very key point you made, because in that scripture in Jeremiah, you know, it does comfort us by saying that God does know the future he has for us. It's a good future to prosper us, not to harm us, to give us a hope and a future. But your heart has to be free to be able to hear that instruction, because you don't hear it with your ears, you hear it with your heart. So the question is your heart free? Because if your heart is not free, you can get distracted and caught up with the pain of the past, fall into wrong temptations because your heart is just looking for a distraction, looking for pleasure rather than actually seeking God's purpose in your life. If your heart is to seek the purpose of God and to follow his plan for your life, then you will find it. Because that's why the Bible says, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. So it's not a question of, God, why don't you just push me into your plan? God keeps speaking, but are we listening? God has told us what to do. God has given us his word. God speaks to us every day through different situations, through different people, but are we listening? Is our heart open and free to listen? That is the question we need to ask ourselves.
The only person that we're pushing you is Satan. God will never violate you.
Yeah, it's true.
God will never force you, because faith is a conviction. Now, the only thing God will do, God will allow adverse situation. Or God say, okay, I want you to go to America, for example. You say, no, I'm not going to America. I'm going to London. Okay, you go to London. God will allow terrible things to happen to you in London. You will suffer poverty. You will suffer trouble. You will suffer. You will
like
suffer.
Like Jonah.
Till you say, please, I'm good. I'm fine. I'm going to go. Like all of us. Situation will come and swallow you and vomit you into the land of promise.
That's why you said something once. You said that God has a veto right, and I do love that. You know, God will leave you to do what you want, meaning that you can decide to disobey him. You can decide to go the wrong way. You can decide to completely abandon his direction for your life. But remember that as a child of God, God answers prayers, and God has veto right over your life. At the point of when you're about to completely destroy yourself, he can just send that rescue to bring you back to him. So don't let it get to that point.
Ruth, what you're saying is true. If God did not bring disappointment in my life, I would have never left France to go to Nigeria.
Yeah.
I didn't want to stay there anymore. I said, what kind of life is this one? Money, things, something was empty deep inside of me. And I could not understand it. It was the voice of destiny. If God holds your heart, The Bible says the heart of a king, a heart of a man, is like a river. God directs us to the way he wants. Mm. So please, when it is time for God to execute his plan in your life, there will be a driving force that will change your action and location. Because of his love, God will send situations to channel your way until you enter the right place.
Yeah.
So please, it's not automatic. God never wants you to be a robot. You are a free moral agent. God wants you to believe. Holy Spirit wants you to believe and to welcome him. If you welcome him, he will answer you. The key is to welcome the Spirit of God in your life.
Mm.
When he comes, you will open your eye to see the promises.
Exactly.
When he comes, you've been understanding. When he comes, he will help you to walk in the direction of God's calling for your life.
Mm. I mean, that's what happened to me. I like Jonah, I was running away from God, from God's purpose for my life. And I didn't want to go to Nigeria. I didn't want that at all. But God had another plan. And it was even in the country of Mexico where I realized, I went through many different situations and I realized that I really needed God. And I went through some hard times and mostly because of my own, caused by myself. And I realized that I needed God. And that's when the voice of destiny really was so loud in my heart that there's only one place I can go. The place I've been avoiding was actually the place of destiny that God had for me. And hidden in that country where I didn't want to go was a treasure, a piece of heaven on earth for me to learn God's way and to receive God's training for my life and my future. So many times what is hidden, you know, the Bible says he hides treasures in jars of clay. I remember there was a time Prophet T.B. Joshua was counseling us about this very question you asked, actually, Tandy. And he was saying that many, many, many times what we would like to do ourselves would be completely different to what maybe God has in mind for us. Maybe we might like to do something specific, completely different, naturally. But God has a way of turning our heart, of turning the circumstances, and God knows best for us. Sometimes we're so stubborn, we think we know what's best for us, but God knows what's best. And that is why something that you would never imagine can become a reality in your life, not because you're seeking that thing, but because you're seeking God. And when you seek God first, God will bring that purpose to pass in your life, not because you're seeking ambition or fame or position or influence or anything yourself, but you're seeking to serve God. And when you seek to serve God, that's when God will bring you to the place of your destiny. That will often surprise you.
So please, if it's not too late. It's never too late.
Mm.
If there are so many people in this situation that have dreams in their lives and they find themselves in the place, in the situation opposite to that dream, what do you have to do? Go on your knee in the secret place of your room.
Mm.
Say, Jesus, you are the light. Come into my heart. Show me what you have in store for me. I surrender.
Amen.
Holy Spirit, help me. Open my eyes to see and guide me. And begin to meditate. If you are a child of destiny, your heart, the voice of your heart will become louder and louder and louder and louder and louder. And when the conviction comes, you will get out of where you are to where God wants you to be. Holy Ghost will help you to do the right thing. You will get fed up with your situation. I don't want this anymore. And he will move you to righteousness and guide you through dreams and revelation. Amen.
Amen. So thank you so much for that question. I believe many people are in the same situation. So don't give up. God does have a plan for your life.
That's
God's word is true. It cannot fail. God's word cannot fail without God failing, and God can never fail. So therefore,
yes, between the promise and the fulfillment, God is processing you.
Mm.
We are the one delaying. God wants you. God will never give me what I cannot accommodate. Mm. So God is busy processing me. How? If God removes pride in me, self-centeredness, to build the fruit of the Spirit, if he blesses me, that blessing will not take my heart away from God.
Mm.
You have to understand, God will give you what you can accommodate. That's the processing of God. If you accept his way and submit to his way, the time will come when he'll move you into the future he has for you. Amen.
So there's someone else asked a question about that scripture. I think it's Matthew, where it says, Jesus said, I do not know you.
Matthew,
I deliver people in your name. The question was, who are those people? Who is the people referring to?
Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says, walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7 from verse 20 to 24. Let's read. Matthew chapter 7, verse 20 to verse 24. Let's listen to the words of Jesus. Yes.
Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them.
By their fruit, you will know them. Those people Jesus is talking about. Those who qualify for eternal life and those who do not qualify for eternal life. Those who qualify for righteousness and those who do not qualify for righteousness. Mm. By their fruit, you will know them. What kind of fruit Jesus is talking about? Continue reading.
Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven.
Oh my God, take note of that. Say it, read it again.
Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter.
I mean, anybody can call Jesus with the mouth, Lord Jesus, confess Jesus. Everybody can confess Jesus with the mouth. I'm a Christian. Jesus is Lord, 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 Holy Spirit, Father, with their lips, but their heart is far from God. You must be such a heart. Not all that call me Lord, Lord will what? Read it again, Ruth.
Will enter the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
But he who does the will of my Father.
He who does the will of my Father. I mean the doer of the word. Enter the kingdom of heaven. Those who do what is right in the sight of God.
Many,
not just hearer, but doers. Go ahead.
Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name?
Stop. Prophesying will never guarantee salvation. The Holy Ghost can use you to prophesy and drop you. Judas Iscariot was used in Luke chapter 9. He prophesied, cast out demons, heal the sick. When they come, oh Lord, we cast out demon. We do this. He says, hey, stop. Rejoice for your name to be written in heaven. That is seek salvation, eternal life. The evidence of salvation is to have Holy Ghost, not power. God can use you with mighty power and drop you. Let me explain. It's so difficult to understand. These people that Jesus is talking about are those who are in the process of salvation. Are those who are in the process of getting into the faith, where they will receive acceptance from God, from the Holy Spirit.
But they're those whose heart is far from God.
Yes, their heart is, they're still learning. Okay, somebody just saying, oh, I don't want to sin again. I want to accept Jesus. Yes, that acceptance of Jesus should be for salvation's sake, not for selfish, classic and material reason. In Acts chapter 8, the Samaritans, when they heard the power of God, when they saw the miracles, the Bible says they believed and they were baptized in water, but none of them received the Holy Spirit. None of them. Why? Because the faith must be grounded in the word of God in Jesus Christ to receive eternal life. Today, somebody can say, hey, I need the power. Power. God can use his power. Yes. When you, okay. If you see a man of God and he has people under him, he's training. Those people, he's training them for salvation. Their salvation is not yet. They're getting into that fear for salvation. The man of God say, go and pray for this person. Miracle will take place as Jesus sent them. They're under somebody. But if now their character is not fit, Holy Ghost will not stay there. Holy Ghost will use you. You can prophesy. These are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But salvation, Holy Ghost himself is a gift. Do you know what I'm saying? Holy Ghost can use you for power. But the evidence of salvation is to receive Holy Ghost as a gift from God himself, an embodiment of the Holy Spirit. When you are saved, you have Holy Ghost dwelling with you forever. Nothing will separate you from you, from him. He will begin to produce the fruit of the Spirit in your life. This is what we call the transforming power of God. Now, what is the power? The evidence of salvation is not just the power. It's the fruit of the Spirit. That's what Jesus is saying. Now, what's power? Holy Ghost manifests the gifts as he wills. 1 Corinthians 12. Not as man wills. Those gifts of the Spirit, Holy Ghost will manifest according to his will to bless others. But the gift of God in your life is Holy Spirit himself will receive at salvation. When we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, Jesus come into our heart in the person of the Holy Spirit to abide in me forever, to help me to live a godly life on earth. That's the fruit of the Spirit. The love of Christ, humility, will be seen in every action of your life. That's the evidence of righteousness.
Because verse 23 says, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you.
I never knew you. Why? Because you never have the abiding presence of the Holy Ghost in your heart. It's frightening, huh?
It is frightening.
Righteousness is not for those who confess Jesus, for those who believe in their heart. Oh my God. Can you go to Romans chapter 10? We have to set our life right before God. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Christianity is not a hobby. It's a reality.
Romans 10.
Romans chapter 10. Let's start from verse 6.
But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way.
The righteousness of faith in Christ Jesus, which Romans chapter 3:20 says, is being revealed in Christ Jesus day by day. Faith to faith. Go ahead.
Do not say in your heart.
Do not say in your heart.
Who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you.
The word of salvation, the word of God is near you. The parable of the sower. Where?
In your mouth.
In your mouth?
In your heart.
That's the question. Is the word in your heart? That is where the issue is. It is easy to confess Jesus with the mouth. Matthew chapter 15, verse 8. These people come to me with their mouth.
But
their heart is far from me.
Far from me, yeah.
You can confess Jesus, but you must have belief in your heart first. That is conversion of heart. The word of God in your heart will bring that faith. Faith takes place in two areas. With our heart, you believe. With your mouth, you confess. Mean faith must be the foundation of your confession. Your heart agrees with your mouth. You mean what you say from all your heart. So continue reading. Is that 4? Verse 10? Verse 9, 10?
That is the word of faith which we preach.
Yes.
That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart.
Believe in your heart. That's the issue.
That God has raised him from the dead.
You must believe that God has raised Jesus Christ from the dead.
You will be saved.
Please, this is important.
For with the heart one believes unto righteousness.
Yes.
And with the mouth confession is made.
With unto the heart man salvation. Believes unto righteousness. I mean, you must believe in your heart Christ's resurrection unto salvation, righteousness for those who believe in their heart, not for those who confess.
That means I think the term belief has been watered down today.
But that is why you have to send people to the message. We talk about the difference between belief and faith. Belief in your spirit, that believe your heart, that believes when the seed planted here yields fruit for eternal life. You believe in Christ's resurrection? Absolutely, even though you have not seen Jesus with your eye, but you believe he has risen from the dead. You believe the testimony of the apostles of old who gave us this gospel. Believing with the heart, the foundation of our faith is Jesus. In a nutshell, Jesus Christ is worthy to be the object of our faith for salvation, for righteousness, when we believe his resurrection from the dead. You have to believe that. You have to believe that. When you believe in your heart, righteousness comes. We put on Christ as our righteousness when you believe his resurrection from the dead.
So therefore, the people in that scripture where Jesus said, depart from me, I never knew you, never truly believed in their heart.
That's the problem of Judah. Judah Iscariot never believed in his heart about Jesus. They saw the miracle, they followed Jesus. He was believing for earthly things. He was believing for selfish, classic, and materialism.
That means people can preach Jesus or maybe perform miracles.
I'm telling you, you can cast out demons even.
A wrong motivation.
Let me explain something to you. When Jesus sent them in Luke chapter 9, none of them were saved yet. But they were casting out demons by the authority Jesus gave them, bestowed unto them. Now, the question is, salvation, being a Christian, is to be searched in heart. To receive Holy Ghost, the foundation is righteousness. You must believe for eternal life. You must believe in Christ Jesus. You must believe in salvation and walk in newness of life with the recreated spirit. And that is the purpose of God in our life, Holy Ghost in our life. Not power.
So the key you're saying, just to clarify to people, to break it down, is that to believe in our heart, there must be a fruit in our life.
Yes.
The fruit has to be in our character. in our decisions, in our attitude, not just what we say, but there has to be a fruit.
Okay. In Acts chapter 9, let's go to Acts chapter 9, please. Acts chapter 8. What I'm saying is the most difficult passage of the Bible. We see evidence that if your belief in Christ Jesus must be anchored in him. John the Baptist saying, believe in him who is coming for righteousness' sake.
Acts 8. Power.
Go ahead.
From verse.
Just start from verse 15.
Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. Okay.
Why did they send Peter and John to Samaria? Since the word of God is there, why? Go ahead.
This is Acts 8 from verse 14.
Yes.
Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit.
That they may receive the Holy Ghost. Why? Continue.
For as yet he had fallen upon none of them.
None of them had the Holy Spirit. But what happened before? Go to verse 10 before. You will see.
But there was a certain man called Simon.
Simon.
Who previously practiced sorcery.
He was a sorcerer, a witchcraft,
city,
a witch doctor, yes.
And astonished the people of Samaria.
We're doing magic.
Claiming that he was someone great.
When people see the power of magic, they say, hey, this is the man of God.
To whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time.
He was powered by evil spirit.
But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God
now,
and
when
the
Philip
name
Evangelist
of Jesus
came
Christ,
and preached, they saw miracle healing in the name of Jesus.
Both men and women were baptized.
Everybody came in. Hey, I want to accept Jesus. We're baptized in water. Everybody.
Then Simon himself also believed.
The witch doctor himself believed because he had greater power.
And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip.
He was baptized in water. Was a believer.
And was amazed.
Was amazed. Everybody,
seeing the miracles and signs which were done.
If you see, he was amazed because of the miracle. They believed because of the miracles. They never believed because of the word, because of Jesus.
Okay.
Wait. If you come to church today, just because of miracle and healing, and not Jesus, you are in the wrong way. Many are around the churches for healing instead of being around Jesus. Make sure your faith is in Jesus of Nazareth. When you believe in Jesus, then the power will come and you will maintain it.
Because the same Simon then asked if he could receive the gift by offering them money, right?
Yes. This Simon, they were all baptized in water, but none of them had the Holy Spirit. Until this, when the disciple, when Peter came, when the apostle came, they put their faith right. People have faith in wrong things. The foundation of faith is the word of God. You must believe what the Bible teaches about salvation. Repentance must take place. Acceptance of Jesus must take place. You must believe the finished work of Jesus at the cross. Not intellectually, but truthfully. And engage your heart to serve Jesus in commitment of heart and spirit. Because it's a life issue. Christianity is a lifestyle. It's not a hobby. You don't believe because of miracle. You believe because of Jesus. But the word of God. That's what happened to them. So God can use anyone. Let me tell you something. God can use anybody to perform a miracle. That does not make you a hey, my God. God can use anyone to provoke a demon. In the Bible, John came to Jesus. Hey, there's one man here casting out demons. He's not part of us. Jesus said, let him. He's not against me. God can use anyone according to his sovereignty.
But he will sort them out later.
But does that mean the person is righteous? The fact that the Holy Ghost used the person because of mercy as an instrument does not mean that the person is righteous.
So it's only Jesus that sees the heart of a person.
Jesus is our righteousness, the heart.
And that's why Jesus said to these people, depart from me, I never knew you.
You must believe for eternal life to receive Jesus. You must believe for eternal life to receive Holy Spirit. So please, we have to be very careful. Very, very careful. Very, very careful. Today, we saw, as Acts chapter 8, people that behave like witch doctors, that pretend to be a prophet, and begin to curse people anyway to receive money. Be careful about that. The gift of God is for free. When Holy Ghost come, his purpose is holiness. Divine holiness is by the Holy Spirit. holy prophets by the Holy Ghost, divine miracle by the Holy Spirit, salvation by the Holy Ghost, not by other ways. So please, the only way to guarantee our salvation is to build your faith on the living word of this Bible by the Holy Spirit. So I pray that this will not happen to many. But who judges salvation? Not me, not you, but Jesus. At the last day, the person, Jesus that spoke, get behind, I don't know you, we'll look at your heart. Do you believe in him for salvation's sake? Do you believe him for righteousness' sake? Do you believe for selfish, classic, and materialism? For money, for popularity? But do you believe for eternal life? Do you seek the kingdom of God? Do you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Do the character change? Do you believe for salvation? That is the key. If not, it's time to put your belief right. When the apostle came and reset the mind of the Samaritans and they embraced Jesus, and the Holy Ghost came immediately. Please, we should respect the doctrine of the gospel of Romans chapter 10 we have read. Righteousness is those who believe in their heart that Jesus is Lord, that he died for you, he's resurrected to give you newness of life. And when you follow him, you embrace Christ's lifestyle of positive faith, righteousness every single day of your life.
Why aren't ministers laying hands on people to receive the Spirit of God as it is in the book of Acts?
I mean, that's what I'm talking about. Praise the Lord. Look, say it again, Ruth. It's very important. Say it again. Okay. Why are what? Why the ministers are not laying hands on people to receive Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
Because no minister can give you Holy Spirit. No man can give you the gift of Holy Spirit in your life. A man can pray for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit, not to baptize the Holy Spirit. Let me explain. For no confusion. Okay, let's go to Acts chapter 8 to make myself clear. Let's go to Acts chapter 8, the same Acts chapter 8 with verse 15, after the apostle come. Listen very carefully. Okay, Jesus, why do we say Jesus is the common center of our faith? Let me, 1 second, baby. Jesus is our mediator to the Father. No one can come to the Father except through Jesus Christ. And no one can receive the Holy Ghost except through Jesus. So Jesus is the center of your faith. Let's continue. Readings, please.
Who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord
you
Jesus.
You hear that? They were only received the baptism in the name of Jesus. Means they only received the baptism of John of repentance. It's not enough. We receive the Holy Spirit at our obedience to God. It's God that sends the Holy Ghost when he sees your heart and your faith is ready. You need heavenly acceptance from God to receive Holy Spirit. Nobody can deceive God. Their belief was for selfish reason, not for eternal life. God never sent the Holy Ghost to them. But when Peter and came and put the right doctrine about Jesus, if only when they believe Jesus, the apostle prayed to God to send the Holy Spirit. It's not them that give the Holy Ghost directly. They prayed and Holy Ghost came. So when a man of God lay hand, it must be directed by God to lay that hand. After putting the word right, he can pray for you and Holy Ghost will come from heaven sent by the Father. And read it again. When the apostle came.
When the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them.
They sent Peter and John what? To check their faith.
Who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit.
Because the Samaritans were believing in evil spirit, in demon. Their faith was wrong. It is surprising what faith people had in wrong thing. You must have the right faith in Christ Jesus to receive Holy Spirit baptism. Continue.
For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit.
Give me this power. As the Holy Ghost is a power which doctor.
But Peter said to him, your money perish with you. Because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter.
Okay.
For your heart is not right in the sight of God.
So when you hear the word impartation, it has to do with filling of the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Ghost is to receive a grace to accomplish an assignment. It's different from receiving the Holy Ghost for eternal life. Impartation, when Moses God asked Moses to do a very good job, and Moses was tired. Numbers chapter 21. God said, okay, bring 70 people. I will take of your spirit and put them in there. I will impart my grace into them to help you, to support you. That's being filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with power, give you temporary enablement to do an assignment. After the Holy Ghost, we go. Holy Spirit, the God that gives is from heaven, not from a man. But if you serve a pastor, has a church, baptized in the Holy Ghost, he has a deacon, somebody who is on a journey, if you send the person can be impart a strength, a grace of God to do that job. It's power. Impartation has to do the power of the Holy Ghost to enable you to carry out a divine assignment given to you. Like a power of attorney.
It's all about the heart of the person.
But to have it forever, your name has to be written in heaven. So please be careful on what you hear about impartation all the time.
Mm.
Impartation is being filled with the Holy Ghost.
Mm.
But you will baptize the Holy Ghost, no man can give you. Only God. You need heavenly acceptance. Go to Acts chapter 19. We have to repeat this again. Acts chapter 19. When you say impartation, power is what Jesus was referring to. The power of the Holy Ghost, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, word of prophecy, to impart gift, to accomplish the mission God gives you. It's a different issue. That's why Jesus said, I don't know you. But you must have Holy Ghost for Jesus to know you forever for you.
Acts 19.
Yes. From verse 1.
And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul...
Okay. Let me give the context, please. Apollos was a Jew who was converted to Jesus. He knew the law perfectly, like a Messianic Jew. And he began to preach Jesus to everybody, to bring them to the knowledge of Jesus. But Apollos was convincing them. He was reasoning intellectually. Apollos, his belief in Christ Jesus was not complete.
Mm.
So he was convincing them, discussing with them. But the people were just convinced. They were not converted of heart. Let's listen. Continue.
And that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, mm-hmm. came to Ephesus, and mm-hmm. finding some disciples, he mm-hmm. said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?
Hallelujah.
So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to them, into what then were you baptized?
Uh-huh.
So they said, into John's baptism.
John's baptism only.
Then Paul said, John now? Indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance.
Yes.
Saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that uh-huh. is Jesus
that
Christ.
Is it. This means you have to believe in Jesus of Nazareth to receive Holy Spirit from him. He's the one that baptized the Holy Spirit, not man. When Paul came, he put the belief right. He corrected the teaching of Apollos. So their faith is on Jesus of Nazareth. When they believe in Jesus, his death and resurrection. When they believe the testimony of Paul, Paul prayed and Holy Ghost came from heaven. God sent heavenly acceptance from heaven. Only God. Baptism on the Holy Ghost, human hands can never be employed.
Yeah, because that reminds me of something Prophet T.B. Joshua said, that he has seen in so many of these conferences or maybe pastors' seminars, he's seen the Spirit of God descend,
mm-hmm.
but not remain.
That is it.
So it can descend. For example, many times God used him to lay hands on people and they received something tangible, but then it didn't remain.
They couldn't maintain it.
Why? Because they couldn't maintain it.
Holy Ghost will leave them after. That's why it's character that matters. It's character that hold Holy Ghost in our lives. Many, I see the
That's
prophet.
That reminds me of what someone said.
Sorry, let me just finish this.
Okay.
I see the prophet. Somebody say something that I should talk. Colin say, I remember you say on Prophet Elijah, you went to South Korea. There was a laying of hands for the Holy Ghost to use them. Yes. But prophet said to them, don't sell the gift.
Mm.
It's not money. It's grace. Impartation, when you pay somebody, is the power of the Holy Ghost, power to prophesy, power to heal, power to deliver. That is powers. That is not righteousness. That is power. That's being filled with the Holy Ghost for power. Filled with the Holy Ghost to speak in tongues. Filled with the Holy Ghost give you power to speak word of wisdom, word of knowledge. But that power, can you maintain it? It's character that maintains. The evidence of character is salvation.
Mm.
Somebody can be filled with the Holy Ghost without being baptized in the Holy Spirit. When you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, your spirit is immersed with God's spirit for eternal life forever. Only Jesus Christ can do that work. You must believe for eternal life, not for power.
So
it's important to understand what I'm saying. Once you are a Christian, once you have Holy Ghost, you are saved. Now, if God called you to do a mission evangelism, then Holy Ghost can impart power to back up your preaching, to back up your teaching, and miracle will take place, healing will take place. That's the power of testimony. The fact that God is using somebody does not mean you are righteous. The evidence of righteousness is to have eternal life, receive the Holy Ghost as gift of the Father to dwell in your heart forever.
Mm.
So when we believe Jesus as our Lord and Savior properly, we have the very presence of Jesus Christ in our heart through the person of the Holy Spirit. That one is to immerse your spirit into God's spirit. Only Jesus can do that. Baptism of water, human hands can put you in water. But this one, no man can do it, only God. That's why the apostle prayed, Holy Ghost came from heaven. Now, impartation is a different issue. You are a pastor, you are saved, or God give you an assignment to do. You carry that assignment, Holy Ghost will fill you, give you capacity. Okay, when David faced Goliath, supernatural power came upon him, power of faith, to face it. If God wants to use you to bring deliverance to somebody, God can do use anyone. Holy Ghost will come and fill you. You pray and hear. The person shout and get out. And Holy Ghost will go. But that's not guaranteed. The Holy Ghost is with you forever. So the evidence of salvation is righteousness. That's why we need to believe for eternal life, to have the Holy Ghost abiding in your heart forever as a gift of Jesus.
Wow, it's quite,
Please read your Bible.
Chew over.
This is important because today people are being deceived everywhere. You go to YouTube, you see lots of things.
Yeah, because, no, sorry, yeah? I was just going to say, it reminded me of, someone said, you know, where's the God of Elijah? You know, the God where you see the great miracles happening that God wrought through Elijah. But then the question is, well, where are the Elijahs today? God is looking at your heart. God is roaming. His eyes are roaming throughout the earth to see who those whose hearts are loyal to him. So the question is, we saw a great prophet of God of our generation, and Prophet T.B. Joshua, we saw what God used to do through his life.
Okay. Everybody knew who Prophet T.B. Joshua is. I don't say who was, I say is.
Yeah.
What do you remember about him? Is it miracle? Is it power or humility?
Mm.
What people remember about him is love, humility. Up today, people see the love of God at work through his life. People are crying. People are remembering him today because of his love, his humility. That's the fruit of the Spirit we are talking about.
Mm.
Humility to the core. Many call his name and they don't know really who he is.
Mm.
Humility speaks. Humility talks. People remember him today because of his humble life and love for people.
Mm.
Miracle God is going to do, a miracle we have never seen on this earth.
Mm.
But he never based his faith on a miracle. Okay, John chapter 2 verse 25. Many followed Jesus because of miracles, but Jesus never trusted them.
Because he knew what was in man. Yeah.
What is Jesus looking? He said, you don't believe until you see a miracle. You must believe for the word of God.
Yeah. And you can't fake humility. I mean.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You have to be serious with the word of God. Please, the mission God gave us is not to display of power. It's to help you to receive this word and to receive salvation and walk with the Holy Spirit in your life. It is possible for you, my dear brothers and sisters. That's the love of Christ for you. Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for all those questions today. We'd love to continue, but we actually have some people waiting to give testimony.
Amen.
So
that does not mean the power is not important. Power is there. But Holy Ghost will manifest it to back up your preaching. If you are sent by God, if you are called by God and sent by God, power is not you. While you are talking, people start vomiting. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He can use you to give you the prophecy. That's Holy Spirit, to back up what you are saying, that this is from heaven. That's the sovereign will of the Holy Spirit to do that. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
So thank you so much. Remember to go over this teaching. It's quite a lot to take in just one go. Make sure
to go to the app.
Okay, yes, the full edited version
of
this
faith, please.
Burning Questions is now only on the app. So you've been seeing, we've just been taking out a few questions on YouTube, but the full edited version is actually only on the app, the University of God app, and so many people have been blessed by being a
treasure of the word of God.
Go to member the of the household of faith. So mm-hmm. make sure you also are blessed that way. The blessing is available. Amen.